Hi, good evening. My name is Anita Smith. If that sounds familiar, I'm married to your fearless leader, Lonnie Smith. I'm a wife to Lonnie, a mom to a lovely, sweet 19-year-old daughter, and yes, teenagers can be sweet. And although I've been in Texas for 39 years, I was born in Oklahoma, and I'm still an Okie at heart. I didn't grow up in a Christ-centered home, although I consider my parents very good and generous people. My mom did become a Christian as a teenager when I was young. We did go to church occasionally, but I don't recall references to God or spiritual things in our home. When I was 11, we moved to Texas, and a local church immediately came to visit our family. In a short time, my mother, my sister, and I did begin to attend. Now, years earlier, my father had had a bad experience with the church, and so he didn't go with us. As a result, he had a negative view of the church and chose not to go. My mother and sister attended regularly, while I only went when I could get out of it, or if I couldn't get out of it, because my thought was, if my dad didn't have to go, why did I? When I did attend Sunday school with others my age, I was often clueless about the subject they were talking about. A lesson might include a story about David or Daniel or Paul, but since I didn't grow up in the church, I was left nodding my head as if I understood. We've all been there. We've all done that. After our second year at the church, I did attend the Christian summer youth camp they went to yearly. And I remember speaking with my pastor one night, and the topic of sin came up. He explained that I could not live up to God's standards on my own, but that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross cleanses us from sin and makes us righteous before God. It made sense, so I accepted Christ as my Savior. After this, I began regular activities at my church, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night services, Wednesday night prayer meetings. And I could finally tell you that David was a king in the Old Testament. Daniel was rescued from lions. Paul was one of the greatest apostles. I could also tell you that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that it was for my sins, and that I knew God. However, what I knew of a relationship with God consisted really of me thinking that he was just watching me from above, looking for bad behavior. So I better be good. And I was. But that's not really much of a relationship with your Creator. What I knew about a relationship with Jesus was, well, how do you make friends with or know the Son of God? He's up there and I'm down here. I had not been taught that a spirit was alive within me to help me learn and grow in his grace. In 1985, at the age of 21, I married a young man that I met at our church after knowing him only 9 months. There were many red flags of potential problems, but in my naiveness, I ignored them. And after 14 years of an emotionally taxing marriage with off-and-on church attendance, he did finally file for divorce in 1999. Now, having been a stay-at-home mom for 3.5 years previous to the divorce, I was very frightened. I'd never been on my own. I had gone from living with my parents to being married, so I had really never been living by myself. Now, one late night after my ex-husband had moved out, I sat on my bed in fear, therefore I was unable to go to sleep. As I sat on my bed in tears, I pled for God to help me. Ugly tears, the ugly crying. I just told him repeatedly, just rocking on my bed, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to do this, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to do this, and if this is going to happen, you're going to have to do it. And it's amazing when you finally decide to give up your own strength and trying to control your own life. And never in my life had I been in a situation where I felt so helpless and deflated and exhausted. But I laid down that night and went to sleep, closing my eyes and surrendering my fear for that moment. But I woke up the next morning and I smiled, and I'll never forget that day, because I had the sudden realization that God was with me. He always would be, and nothing would ever be the same again. I never had fear at night again after that night. The God I had become aware of as a teenager was extending his hand, pulling me close, and opening my eyes to a new hope and a real relationship with him and my rescuer, Jesus. It says in Isaiah 41:10, "To fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And here he was, a living, breathing God who swept through my life, through my room, knew my fears. He knew my fears, and he put them to rest. This was my heavenly Father whom I could talk to, share both dreams and heartbreak with, and know he heard and know he cared. I was learning that he was not just a distant being anymore, waiting just for me to stumble. During that time, I had begun attending a church plant connected with the church I had grown up with. It was a small congregation, and although most members were in their 60s and 70s, God had me there for a reason. These were more mature couples. They were tender, supportive, and loving towards me and my daughter in a way that really gave me a glimpse of God's love through his people. In fact, in John 12:35, Jesus says that by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I've heard for years that God loved me, but now I was experiencing it firsthand in tangible ways through his people. I told these dear people that their love for me would not go in vain. And 14 years later, I began serving in divorce care, hoping to also point others towards the hope and healing that I had found in Jesus and also God's love for them. In March of 2000, nothing less than God's providence, using the classifieds in the Dallas Morning News, I found a job and began working in sales at a Christian publisher only a few miles from home. Building relationships with some of the faithful Christian women working there, I was exposed to their lives and their faith and realized that I wanted what they had. I wanted what I could see coming out of them. Jesus dwelling in my heart, giving me the peace and assurance I may have never found on my own. To grow in intimacy with God, most evenings you would find me sitting on my bed or back patio reading my Bible. I may have lost my place. Okay, I didn't. I was able to stay in the home that my husband had moved out of. Had a huge backyard, big patio, lots of trees. And most evenings, again, you would find me sitting on my bed with my Bible open or maybe reading one of the books from one of my favorite authors. And these were important times as God breathed into my spirit while I examined my heart and my actions, and also found hope in his promises. These were also peaceful times, and in praying, I would often stop and just listen, because I really didn't want to leave his presence, because I felt it so strongly. I especially loved reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, as they helped me more and more to learn and absorb the nature and character of who God is through his son, Jesus. Knowing my marriage had likely left deep scars, I was blessed by a godly woman from work, as she pointed me toward ministry that helped me grow as a disciple in Christ. In Romans 8:5, Paul says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit." And I learned what it meant to live by the flesh, how I would use my own human resources, such emotions, past experiences, to dictate my actions and reactions like fear, anger, anxiety, doubt, resentment, just to name a few. However, I also learned that if I chose to live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I'm bound to Jesus, and I exchange my fleshly weaknesses for his supernatural strength. In Corinthians 12:9, the Lord told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness." What seemed impossible to do before, extend forgiveness, gain courage, learn to trust, find peace, put up healthy boundaries, move forward, just insert your struggle here, they're no longer out of reach for those who have a new life in Christ. One of my favorite verses is Galatians 2:20, because it defines this so clearly. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I, like you, know what it's like to depend on myself to overcome adversity and fear or try to extend forgiveness. My stubborn heart will rise up and tell me all the reasons that I can't or I won't do this. While in Matthew, God tells me with him all things are possible. And a valuable lesson that I learned is that it's not up to me, and it never was. I was not meant to carry these burdens alone. Jesus told his followers in John 14:25-27, before Jesus left them, he told them, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." My relationship with God through Jesus Christ became my foundation for moving forward. He does not expect me to be perfect, but accept the grace he offers and extend it to others by forgiving those who have wounded me, to humbly admit my own faults, and to not dwell in the past, and also to realize that God loves me like no other. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Despite my scars and bruises, in his hands, it's possible to find a new life of hope and purpose if I keep my eyes and ears on him and his word. In my life, that second chance played out in many ways. The 4 years I was single, I count as one of the most valuable seasons in my life. Growing nearer to God, learning who he is and what he wants for my life, has assured me of his love for me, that he has a plan for me, and that he continually is present with me when I'm struggling, when I'm faithful, and even when I'm not so lovable. I still work for the Christian publisher, and I enjoy the work I do. I actually met my husband, Lonnie, there, and we remarried in 2004 after my first husband had remarried in 2001. And in fact, on July 3rd of this year, we'll be celebrating 11 years of growing and learning and trusting and forgiving and lots of other things in between. We began attending Watermark about 7 or 8 years ago, have connected with couples through community that have enriched, challenged, and touched our lives on multiple levels as they pointed us to Jesus within our marriage. So the same Creator who made your heart is the same one who can also heal it. Tonight, you'll finish your 13-week journey through divorce care, and my prayer is that as you move on and grow closer to God, you will discover the unique purpose he has for each and every one of you, and that he enables you to persevere, to move forward through this time, that you might recognize and give thanks for his good work in your life. Y'all have a great summer. Thanks for allowing me to share.